Today's gospel poses a bit of a challenge. If we look at it, it seems kind of crazy that the landowner would be so generous with his money to give a full day's wage to someone who had only provided for him 1 hour's worth of work, therefore 1 hour's worth of production. But I want to suggest to you that the reason that seems so unfair is because life is not fair. And it's interesting, I immediately thought why life isn't fair, and it's something that my mother had been telling me all my life. Just on a lark, I decided to Google, life is not fair. And I came across an incredibly interesting article that I want to sort of share some of the ideas and the contents behind it with you. This article was written by a gentleman by the name of Oliver Emberton, and he is a dual citizen, UK-US citizen, and he's a blogger. From the looks of, you know, his about page, he's an incredibly intelligent guy, very productive, just a really interesting fellow. But what was most interesting to me was, after I had read the article, I thought to myself, you know, this article is really, it's perfect. It speaks to the hazards of our humanity and why life is not fair. The article is called, "The Problem Isn't That Life is Unfair, It's Your Broken Idea of Fairness." And he begins the article with this quote, "Unless you're winning, most of life will seem hideously unfair to you." Unless you're winning, life will seem unfair. He ends the article by saying our idea of fairness isn't actually obtainable. It's really just a cloak for wishful thinking. And as soon as I read that line, I immediately wanted to find out a little bit more about this guy. So that's when I went to his about page, and interestingly enough, he professes to be an agnostic atheist and a humanist. And I thought to myself, he is really being true to himself in writing this article. Not because it's a cynical article, but because the article really speaks to a human experience. But it speaks to the human experience that is devoid of faith. Now, this morning, Kaylin joins us, steps before us, and witnesses to her experience of faith. And in witnessing to her experience of faith, she is relying on us to join her in that experience of faith. We rely on one another in that experience of faith. And what happens is if we don't count on our faith, we fall into our human experience, which ultimately turns out to be unfair. So Oliver Emberton, in this article, points out three rules of life. And these three rules of life that he points out are rules that have everything to do with an explanation as to why life is unfair. His first rule is, life is a competition. In our human experience, that's valid, right? Who here isn't in competition with someone at some point? Sibling rivalries, at work, in your neighborhood, who drives the best car, who has the best job, who has the most power, who has the most prestige. Life is a competition. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it becomes a bad thing when it's devoid of our experience of faith. And that's why Paul's letter to the Philippians is so important, because if we pay attention to what Paul is saying, he's sort of torn in this idea about life and the challenges that it poses for him, and death, and the idea that there is a promised reward from Christ himself. And he struggles and wrestles with that idea because life is hard. But Paul tells us that life without Christ is useless. It's only in Christ that life takes on its meaning. And so in competition, we have to be willing to look at one another through the eyes of God, because God sees each and every one of us as uniquely loved. Every one of us. And if you think about the idea of maybe some people that you've met or experienced in your life who are horrible, rotten scoundrels, if there's some human being who is capable of loving that person, isn't God going to love that person? And so we have to be willing and open to that idea that God loves each and every one of us in an equal way, but it's a unique way. Oliver's rule number 2 is, you're judged by what you do, not what you think. And as an example, he gives the idea of a great song being written. If somebody writes the greatest song ever, and only one person hears it, how do we know it's the greatest song ever? We only judge a great song by the number of people who hear it. And if they turn out to like it, well, then it becomes a great song. So it's not whether or not we think a song is great. It's whether or not a song becomes great because it gets enough exposure. Think about that in your own life. How much exposure do you get toward your greatness? Again, that's why it is so important for us to look at one another through the eyes of God. Because God does not judge us by what we do or by what we think. God judges us by who we are. And he knows who we are because he created us. And so we have to be willing to get to know other people, to find out who they are, so that we can give them the dignity and respect that they deserve. And rule number 3, which I think speaks worlds of wisdom, is our idea of fairness is really just self-interest. What each and every one of us might think is fair might be completely different in terms of an idea for someone else. And I want to suggest to you that it is that self-interest that speaks to the very nature of our human condition, of our original sin. Our sin came from this idea of self-interest. When we read the story of the fall, we recognize that the man and the woman were not thinking about God. They were thinking about how they could become God, become like God. And so it is that pursuit of self-interest that ratchets up that feeling of life being unfair. So again, that's why it is so important for us to listen to the words of St. Paul, to listen to the idea that we have been caught between life and death. But life and death have to be in Christ. And if life and death are in Christ, then life, it doesn't matter whether or not our pursuit of fairness is real. Because ultimately, God loves each and every one of us. So in this story, which we'll get back to with regard to the gospel, at the end of the day, the reward is what was agreed upon. Our reward is eternal life. How could eternal life get any better for us? Do you think that when we get to heaven, there will be a seating arrangement that includes the saints up front and the not so saintly sitting a little further in the back? I would suggest to you, when we get to that eternal life, the last thing I want to do is look around and compare myself. I just want to celebrate the reality of being in the presence of God. And that, my friends, is exactly what brings us here. It's what brings Caitlin here, to experience the presence of God. So as we prepare to receive Christ in the Eucharist, let us pray that God can be present to us in a very real way, that our life can be influenced by the presence of God, and that we can conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ.